Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Friday, October 15th, Pope Francis highlights the need for concerted action to overcome hunger in the world. Deadly clashes in Lebanon's capital Beirut leave several people dead, and the Holy See calls for measures to be put in place to fight human trafficking. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki. In a message to the Director General of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization, Pope Francis says we must adopt innovative solutions to transform the way we produce and consume food for the well-being of people and of the planet. Christopher Wells tells us more.
The annual celebration of World Food Day brings us face-to-face with one of humanity's greatest challenges. Overcoming hunger once and for all is an ambitious goal, writes Pope Francis in a message addressed to Ku Deng-Yu, the Director General of the UN's Food and Agriculture Organization. In his message, the Holy Father says this year's theme for World Food Day, "Our Actions Are Our Future," underlines the need for concerted action so that everyone has access to diets that ensure maximum environmental sustainability and are also adequate and affordable. The Pope highlights four areas in particular where urgent action is needed: in the field, at sea, at the table, and in reducing food loss and waste. Although individual lifestyle choices and daily consumption practices influence global and environmental dynamics, he says, we must encourage producers and consumers to make ethical and sustainable choices and raise awareness among the younger generations of the important role they play in making a world without hunger a reality. Pope Francis says that with the pandemic, there's an opportunity to change course so that the global food system will be better able to respond to future crises. However, he insists, the fight against hunger requires overcoming the cold logic of the market and instead strengthening the logic of solidarity. In his message, Pope Francis assures the FAO's Director General the Holy See and the Catholic Church walk side by side with the FAO and those other entities and individuals who do their best to ensure that no human being sees his or her fundamental rights undermined or disregarded. He concludes his message with words of encouragement. May those who sow seeds of hope and harmony feel the support of my prayer, pleading that their initiatives and projects may be ever more fruitful and successful. I'm Christopher Wells.
Echoing Pope Francis's message on World Food Day is Martin Penner, spokesperson of the UN's World Food Program. Speaking to Vatican Radio's Francesca Merlo, Martin Penner highlights the dangerous links between climate and hunger, especially as the world faces this climate crisis. He also expresses the importance of Pope Francis's voice when, as he often does, he speaks out about hunger and the most vulnerable, especially as the world's leaders prepare to meet next month in Glasgow for COP26.
We know that if global temperatures rise by 2 degrees, we're going to have 189 million more people going hungry in the world. You know, here at WFP, like our sister agencies, we have projects to deal with this, and basically I suppose you could put them into three categories. There are ones that try to anticipate climate hazards. I mean, we get in there before they turn into disasters. We use early warning systems to trigger financial support early rather than late. Another way is to restore degraded ecosystems, because these are natural shields against climate hazards. And then, of course, we need to protect the most vulnerable with safety nets and insurance against climate extremes. Those are the three groups of projects and ways that we're trying to act.
In Pope Francis's message to the UN Secretary General at the end of July, he underlined that hunger is a crime that violates basic human rights. Now, does the Pope's stand in this field have an impact on your work and support your mission?
Of course, it certainly does. The attention that the Holy Father gives to the plight of the world's hungry and vulnerable is very important. It helps ensure that these issues stay firmly on the agenda for world leaders. You know, the Pope made a very strong statement there. Hunger is a crime that violates human rights. That can't be ignored. And we sincerely hope that when leaders join the COP26 climate summit in Scotland in a few weeks, they'll remember this and also remember that climate and food are very closely linked. In other words, a climate crisis is a hunger crisis.
That was Martin Penner, World Food Programme spokesperson. European bishops are calling on the European Union to listen to the cry of the poor and to leave no one behind in the recovery process following the COVID-19 pandemic. The call was made on Thursday in a statement released by the Commission of the Bishops' Conferences of the European Union, which proposes several good practices and recommendations on how to enhance the fight against poverty in Europe. Francesca Merlo tells us more.
The statement, "Listen to the cry of the poor in the context of the COVID-19 pandemic and its recovery," has been prepared by the Comesse Social Affairs Commission and aims to take stock of the existing EU strategies to tackle poverty, report some actions of the Church to support people in poverty during the pandemic, and bring its recommendations to the attention of the EU institutions and leaders. The 11-page paper notes that although poverty and social exclusion have declined in the EU in the last decade, the ambitious social target of Europe 2020 of a reduction of 20 million people at risk of poverty or social exclusion was not met. Since the pandemic, there has been a multiplication of fragile situations affecting the life of persons, families and communities across the Union, the statement points out, calling attention to the increase of in-work poverty and the worrying situation of many workers who do not benefit from dignified working conditions or do not have their work valued. Although fighting poverty is one of the main social priorities of the EU, according to the European bishops, more should be done to measure and tackle new forms of poverty that have emerged clearly during the pandemic. The EU and its member states need to better acknowledge the multidimensional approach of poverty in order to leave no one behind. The paper goes on to offer examples of good practices put into action by a number of institutions and with the support of different church organizations to help meet the most pressing needs of people in poverty. It concludes with 11 recommendations, including strengthening material and food assistance under EU funding, finding better ways of measuring poverty that match the present reality, facilitating access to affordable and decent housing, working to prevent over-indebtedness, and promoting decent work, quality, education, and solidarity. I'm Francesca Merlo.
Schools, banks and government offices across Lebanon shut down on Friday after hours of gun battles between heavy armed militias killed 7 people and terrorized the residents of Beirut. Meanwhile, the government has called for a day of mourning. Linda Bordoni reports.
Gunmen used automatic weapons and rocket-propelled grenades on the streets of the Lebanese capital on Thursday, echoing the nation's darkest era of the 1975-1990 civil war. The fear of a return to sectarian violence in the country, which is already struggling through one of the world's worst economic crises, is tangible. Pope Francis has repeatedly called for prayers and support for the people of Lebanon as they face increasing difficulties in every sphere. Thursday's violence broke out during a protest organized by the two main Shiite parties, Hezbollah and the Amal movement, calling for the removal of the lead judge investigating last year's massive explosion at Beirut port. Officials from both parties have suggested the judge's investigation is heading toward holding them responsible for the blast on the 4th of August 2020, which killed at least 215 people and injured more than 7,000. Local sources said many of the protesters were armed. It was not clear who fired the first shot, but the confrontation quickly devolved into heavy exchanges of gunfire along a former civil war front line separating predominantly Muslim and Christian areas of Beirut. The clashes reportedly lasted for hours, with snipers shooting from buildings and bullets penetrating apartment windows. Schools were evacuated and residents hid in shelters. The two Shiite groups said their protesters came under fire from snipers deployed over rooftops. They accused the Christian right-wing Lebanese Forces militia of starting the shooting. Tensions over the port blast have contributed to Lebanon's many troubles, including a currency collapse, hyperinflation, soaring poverty, and an energy crisis leading to extended electricity blackouts. Overseeing the investigation into what has been described as one of the largest non-nuclear explosions in history, Judge Tarek Bitar has been accused by officials from both Shiite parties of politicizing the investigation by charging and summoning some officials and not others during the 14-month probe. I'm Linda Bordoni.
Suicide bombers attacked a Shiite mosque in southern Afghanistan that was packed with worshippers attending weekly Friday prayers, killing at least 37 people and wounding more than 70. There was no immediate claim of responsibility for the attack on the Imam Barga Mosque. It came a week after a bombing claimed by the local Islamic State affiliate killed 46 people at a Shiite mosque in northern Afghanistan. An eyewitness reported hearing 4 explosions, 2 outside and 2 inside the mosque. Video footage from the scene showed bodies scattered across blood-stained carpets, with survivors walking around in a daze or crying out in anguish. The White House says the United States would donate more than 17 million doses of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine from its domestic supplies to the African Union. President Biden made the announcement on Thursday as he met with Kenyan President Uhuru Kenyatta at the White House. The 17 million vaccines will be available for delivery immediately and will be delivered to the African Union within the coming weeks. The Holy See on Thursday called for tools and action to fight the smuggling of migrants worldwide. The Holy See's representative made the call at a working group on smuggling of migrants organized by the Vienna-based United Nations Office on Drugs and Crimes. Robin Gomes has the details.
The Holy See expressed concern over uncontrolled payments through blockchain platforms and the dangerous role that the unregulated use of cryptocurrencies plays in the smuggling of migrants. Yuri Tikhovlis made the statement at the UNODC working group on behalf of Monsignor Janusz Urbanczyk, the Holy See's permanent observer to the United Nations and specialized institutions in Vienna, Austria. The use of cash payments to avoid transparency in recent years, he said, has shifted into the even less transparent world of digital payments and cryptocurrencies. He noted that while some online platforms oblige their senders and beneficiaries of remittances to identify themselves, some cryptocurrency platforms and virtual asset service providers do not request identification from their customers. This, the Holy See official said, only increases opportunities for money laundering and similar crimes. Social media networks and the so-called surface and dark web, Thikoblis said, are information communication technology tools widely used to facilitate recruitment and transportation in the smuggling of migrants, leading to their subsequent exploitation. Thikoblis pointed out that while technology can be used for evil ends, there are also several technological tools developed by law enforcement authorities, civil society actors, and faith-based organizations that permit people to equip themselves with knowledge about the risks of smuggling and provide means through which to report such possible cases. According to the Holy See, state and non-state actors should take appropriate actions to promote the development of secure technological solutions. Mechanisms should be introduced for the identification of virtual assets in order to increase transparency and combat illegal actions within these services. Tikhovlis said prevention and campaigns on smuggling and initiatives should be promoted to stop migrant smuggling to make migration more safe, orderly, and regular. I am Robin Gomes.
That brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. My thanks go to Adriano Vitali in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Father Benedict Mayaki.